When you Snapchat, when you Instagram, when you Facebook, there's a human element that tends to be missing. But what about when it comes to your education? Online learning has consistently grown over recent years, and it doesn't show any signs of stopping anytime soon. Is that a good thing? Or is online learning too lacking in an important component of the in-class experience? A lack that could be detrimental to a person's education. Today on the show, we're diving into that. Hello, Laurier. This is the Chordcast. Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in. Before we get into the program, I just want to let you all know that following the water damage that occurred last week, production has been shuffled around a little bit, so our episode this week was recorded in a less quiet space than usual. You may hear some shuffling, some stamping, some other strange sounds that shouldn't be there. I'm sorry about that. I'd also like to make a quick disclaimer that the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individuals speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intentions of the content or the opinions of anyone else on the Chord or Wolusip staff or volunteers. Now, on to the program. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Chordcast, the Chord's weekly podcast. My name is Carlos Wild, and I am the host of the program. As always, I am joined by a few members of our editorial board, and let's get right into it. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, I'm Curtis, and I'm the editor-in-chief. Sorry, Curtis Rideout, editor-in-chief at The Chord. How's it going, everybody?
I'm Garrison Osterhoff. I'm the web director.
Anton Ziel. I'm the creative director.
We can say that now.
We can say that now. Yeah. So we've got a new creative director for the new semester, and that's Tan Ziel here. He was our photo editor last semester, yeah. And so that's an exciting change that you're going to see a little bit of a different visual aesthetic to the issues in the future, because he's going to be designing our covers in the future. Madeline McInnes was doing it last semester and she did a great job, but the look of the paper might change a little bit because of this. And so let's actually start right there. We obviously have a new issue coming out on Wednesday, every Wednesday. So what's going on in this new issue? What is there to be excited about, Curtis?
Okay, well, one thing I'm looking forward to is I believe Emily's going to talk about Logan Paul and the controversy that surrounded him on YouTube. I don't know if anyone here is familiar.
I'm familiar.
But yeah,
this taught me that what's the other, like, Paul?
Jake Paul.
Yeah, this taught me that Logan Paul and Jake Paul were different people.
Mm-hmm. Who's Jake Paul?
The brothers. Yeah. Twins, actually.
Is he another YouTube star?
Yeah, they're just rich internet celebrities. And I think what Emily's going to talk about in the article has a little bit to do with, like, the problems that have arisen out of recent YouTube stars and the controversies that have come out. So we talked about Felix or whatever his name is. What's his name? That YouTube guy.
Oh, PewDiePie?
Yeah. PewDiePie, everyone was mad at him earlier this year.
Yeah. I feel like it's
kind of hard for those guys to even, like, hide their personalities enough to avoid that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see.
So interesting right now. Stardom is just so corrupt. Like, YouTube stardom, like, YouTube as a concept, I think YouTube is being really weird with some of its monetization, but, like, Hollywood and, like, their stars too. It's like everybody that's famous is, like, shady.
Yeah. it does sort of seem to be coming out that way now.
Yeah.
Right? That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's keep moving through. What else is in the new issue, Garrison?
Sports is one of my favorite sections. It hits me, I guess. There's a really cool story. Safina is writing about Catherine Foss. She is working for the NHL Players Association, which is really cool. I appreciate the Players Association more than, say, the general managers or the coaches, because the players are, they need to be represented. So it's really cool that somebody from Laurier is representing them or working in the Players Association.
Yeah, she actually was in my program. I don't know her personally, but she went to the Laurier Brantford campus and she took journalism there. So
very cool.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah, look forward to that.
And Tanzio, what else is in the issue?
Well, there is going to be a story about money versus fulfillment, and that's a really interesting concept because there's a general divide on both sides, where there's one side which believes strongly that money will bring them happiness and fulfillment, while the other side believes that there's more to life than just money. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. I'm waiting to read about that.
Nice. And that's in the Arts and Life section. I think it's volunteer named Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that'll be worth checking out. And, of course, the feature section in our newspaper is tackling some stuff to do with online learning. So we're gonna have a little conversation about online learning here and just the kind of fulfillment that you get out of it. Because that's kind of a question that's not really relevant when discussing the success of online learning, is how much of it is actually staying with you, how much is it actually resonating with people. Well, I mean, let's just talk simply. I mean, we all live online, and we make an effort to see one another in person, right? And what is the reason for that? Why do we need to connect with other people in real life? Why is that important? Yeah, you don't have to put your hands up. It's okay.
Can I talk now? No, I'm just kidding. No, you made me think. That kind of brings up a really important point, because I for one know that I am communicating face to face. Usually when it's like I don't want to say last resort, that sounds bad, but like when you text that person who just texts you back and there's no miscommunication, that's great, but that just like never seems to be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes me think of that. I would be personally, if I was in an online class, I'd be dodging the teacher until the absolute last possible second.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, there's definitely some problems to arise there.
Mm-hmm.
Very open-ended. I don't know where I was going with that.
No, that's okay. That's exactly what this podcast is for. Sort of open-ended conversations. Yeah, so sorry, you want to continue there?
I have a different comment. I'm not sure. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
It's okay, yeah.
Communicating online versus communicating in person for me is very different. Communicating in person is a permanent thing. I can remember that so much more clearly. Even communicating face-to-face through like FaceTime or whatever, an image face-to-face, mm-hmm. I don't remember that as clearly in any way. It's the social interaction, being physically present with another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I have like so much more memory permanence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't communicate online solely. I really did not enjoy online learning because I could not remember anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say it is because humans are social animals, and when you're interacting online, that's not natural. It's not how it was ever meant to be, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
While it's a good form of communication, when you're talking to someone in person, there's like multiple layers of stimuli which affect you. Like you look at their expression and you actually know what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
rather than texting where you just assume that you know, or even FaceTime. FaceTime is kind of weird to me because like every time you see something on TV, you don't necessarily take it to be real, and I feel like that over time has evolved in a way where FaceTime still doesn't register the
mm-hmm.
same way as an interpersonal one-on-one conversation would.
Right, yeah.
That gave me a really interesting thought.
Oh yeah.
About the parallel between communication and information.
Okay.
So when you're in front of a person, physically with them, communicating is tons and tons of information beyond verbal,
mm-hmm.
beyond visual. There's so much more information beyond just communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of sacrifice that with social media and communicating online because there's metadata, and that extra information is sold to somebody else. They know when we're messaging, maybe not what we're messaging, but who we're messaging and when and where. And all that metadata and stuff is being monetized.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving away our information on behalf of just communication more simply.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if we jump right from there, right into online courses, obviously that was a little more general, but have you guys taken any online courses?
I've taken three.
One.
No.
Okay,
never.
That's okay.
Well, I took one in high school and I didn't finish it.
Okay, and why didn't you finish it?
Well, I was going to touch on that too a little bit more. I feel like I'll jump ahead of you guys. You can follow me, but yeah, my experience with online learning, I feel like maybe if I was born 10 years later, it would have been a little bit more optimal, but I was trying to like make the best with the tools I had at the time. And because like when I was finishing high school, those weren't ideal for me, to say the least. I didn't like get anything out of it, but I also didn't like, I was not used to that structure, and I didn't have any drive to like complete things. Like
mm-hmm.
I need that classroom face-to-face. As much as I like love being able to dodge my teacher's emails and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that and like ignore them when you can, it's just like so much better when they have someone there to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I think I learned that too. Like I took a college program where it was like structured a lot differently than any university courses I took, and it was like It was a lot more like checking in with the teacher every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me not just succeed, but like kind of excel. And like, that's when I started going to class more, and that's when I started to appreciate things a lot more. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be sad to see it go in a totally towards totally online learning, but like, I'm not, this conversation isn't to negate any of the benefits of it, but that's just my personal experience.
Right. And you said that you might have a different view if you had taken more online courses, if you had been more conditioned to taking online courses.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I think just growing up without that, like where my typical learning style is like in a small group, and the only time I really got a lot of out of interactions in general was when I was communicating with people at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like not having that level of communication would have allowed me to detach even
right.
more from my studies and from my peers and that sort of thing. And I think probably wouldn't have been beneficial to me. Maybe would have been easier to a certain degree, but I don't think it would have like pushed me out of my comfort zone as much as like being in the classroom and being engaged in conversations does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what about you guys? Tanzeel?
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of online courses. I just happen to take them because I had no other choice.
Okay.
My problem with them is just like, again, FaceTime. Since you're not going to class and not talking to teachers and other people in the class, it just doesn't have the same level of effect on you. Going to like a final or a midterm, you're in the class with all these people and the pressure's on, and I felt like I personally put in more effort during the exam because it felt more real,
mm-hmm.
versus an online exam where you're sitting in your own room, in your own comfort zone, and just clicking buttons on a paper, on a computer. It just did not have that same impact.
Now, in terms of marks, your online courses compared to your in-class courses, how did you fare?
Oh, absolutely better. It's much easier online.
You did better online?
Way better.
I think it's because it's marking, though. I don't think
it's the way
they mark structured. Easier. They mark easier online.
Not just that. I feel like they structure it in a way so it's easier. Like, one of the courses I had 12 quizzes which were supposed to be every week.
So it's more structured.
But it had no deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally did most of them in the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no cutoff. Whereas in any other course, that would not happen.
Really?
Yeah. It was
That's interesting. So you can... It can fit it into whatever schedule that you have. So you could do 3 quizzes every month or something and
mm-hmm.
like totally divide it up in a unique way or
yeah.
all of them in the last week.
I think that gets to one of the major flaws with online learning. I'm not trying to just bash online learning here, but
mm-hmm.
just thinking about what Tanzeel said, when you have that, like that teacher to hold you accountable and stuff, then you don't leave like your 12 quizzes until the last week, you know what I mean? Like they kind of give you a lot of freedom with online learning, and I feel like maybe that speaks to my own level of maturity as a student, where I was like not that comfortable with that much freedom to
mm-hmm.
be like, oh, now I've like left all this work for the last 2 weeks and you're still registered for the course, so like at that point you either fail or you pass and it affects your mark no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, I should have done this, I should have started doing this like 4 weeks ago, and I didn't have any like real push to actually do it. I mean, yeah, that definitely still makes me sound like not holding myself accountable enough, but that was the case when I was in online courses.
Right.
I just didn't do them.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, when we're looking at the education system, we're talking about children, we're talking about teenagers, and we're talking about people in post-secondary. I mean, the online learning environment kind of expands to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
In theory.
We're talking about people too, in this sense, people that are paying for their education, and I
mm-hmm.
think that should influence it a lot more too. Like, maybe someone would prefer online learning, that's how they learn, but
mm-hmm.
me, if I'm paying my money to learn something, I want like that person to hold me accountable a little bit too. Like, I feel like that's part of what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And without having that setting, it's like, it's a lot more, like, I feel like I had a lot of friends in first year who wouldn't even go to class,
mm-hmm.
and they'd get away with passing, and like, you still gotta go for like those attendance marks or the final exam or whatever. Like, imagine having a full course load of online classes and never leaving your dorm
mm-hmm.
for the whole time. Which I feel like that kind of takes
Sucks.
Away from the experience.
I hate that.
But it's also beneficial too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for a couple of years I was working in a factory and I was taking
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 online courses at a time, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's one of the major benefits of it, is that it can be done anywhere. And Garrison, you haven't said very much. Let's get some of your thoughts. Let's hear from you.
At the end of a course, they have the course review, and they ask you, how many courses have you taken already? And I try and think back and count all the courses that I've taken. And every time I forget at least one, and that one is always my online course because I forget I even took it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how non-permanent it is in my memory. It was very easy to do. It was very structured, which was nice because I think I'm a pretty organized person.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, it would benefit me really, really well, and I would do really well, but I hated it, and it didn't stick in my mind. And
you hated online courses?
Yeah, I did not enjoy it at all. I always go to class. I enjoy classes a lot. I like the discussion. I like being in a classroom. I feel more productive that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I worry that my online course won't even count. Like, I just guess I have a lot of distrust for digital learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, what you said about working in a factory and taking online courses at the time, like, I think that gets to, like, the heart of what I'm trying to say, where it's like, I wanted that choice, but if I was in the set, like a setting like you,
mm-hmm.
where I didn't have any other option, I couldn't be in the classroom, then, and you really wanted to go to school, then it's like, that makes that possible for so many people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of like, I think if it benefits you, then hell yeah, take all your courses online.
Mm-hmm.
But informed from my personal experience, you're going to miss out on that little bit of like humanity left.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think to go along with that, it's exponential, the relationship. So like when you need online learning, it's right on. It's 100%. Like you need it. It does its job like really, really well. But when it's like either or and it doesn't matter to you, I don't think it's that helpful.
Yeah.
It's only helpful when you really need it. It's hit or miss.
I get that because like I took one of my courses while in India.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't have been possible without that. But
mm-hmm.
it obviously has its place. But I feel like right now it's not at a point yet where it's structured well enough or created in a way which is anywhere close to in-class learning, because just going back to a class out of the semester, the prof is so passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes you want to go to class, and I like really enjoy that. So I feel like that's a major part where you miss it. And
mm-hmm.
somewhere that this online learning can be scary is anywhere before university, because teachers have such a developmental role in the development of their students.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scary right now, but I can see it getting way, way better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is it definitely does have its place. It's not a perfect system, but it does do some pretty incredible things, online
yeah.
learning. But anyway, check out the feature in the new issue of The Cord. Learn a little bit more about online learning, some of the dangers, what's good about it in the future there. We want to wrap up pretty quickly here, but we can't go without hearing something good from you guys. So if you guys could hit me up real quick with something good from your life, something you've experienced, something you've seen, just something positive to end this show on here. And we're going to go to Tanziel right now. He looks ready to talk. What's up, Tanziel?
I just had to steal Nash first before any of you guys said, so you got to come up with something else. So we went to Nash last week. It was All Canada University Newspaper Journalism Conference. Absolutely amazing. Like, there were amazing speakers there. I just learned so much, and also like just bonding with the team at The Cord, it was a really good time.
Awesome. And Garrison,
can something good be something that's coming in the future, but
yeah.
it's still like this week?
No.
You're excited about it. Yeah.
It's okay with me.
Okay.
What we're tapping into, the something good is your excitement for this.
Yes.
For
okay.
the coming event.
I'm very excited for tonight. In a couple hours, I have a hockey game, an Intramural Laurier hockey game, and I'm just so excited to play hockey again.
Yeah.
Ah, gonna score a goal. It's gonna be awesome.
That's great.
It's got me.
Feeling it vicariously. Oh, man, I'm just gonna springboard off what Tanziel said. We got back from that conference, and we had like so many things happen, so many what do I usually say, so many fires to put out, but we did it because the team has been fantastic and everyone can like kind of rely on each other, and I feel like we hit the ground running this year. We made a lot of changes, like Tanziel moving up to creative. I'm excited to see what he'll do, but not only that, we just hired our new lead photographer, Sadman, and he's gonna do a lot of great work. And we also bumped our other lead photographer, Luke, up to photo editor, and like even more excited to see what he'll do. So that stuff is really keeping me going right now.
And our content, we've got
oh yeah
web content, Instagram, different
Garrison
stuff.
has been beefing up the web team, so look out for us on Instagram now. We're going to have like a stronger Instagram presence. We're looking to grow that. A little bit more engagement on Twitter and some more interactive stuff on our website. So look out for that as well.
Big things are coming.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that brings us to the end of our program. Just want to give a quick thank you to everyone at Wallusa, all the staff and volunteers here with the Cord. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, whatever, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca. And of course, we are on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you want to get your podcast. You can subscribe and rate us and review us there. Whatever you want to hear from us, we'd like to hear from you. And have an awesome day.
Our music was provided by Steve Gave for Life.